to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and it is episode number 226, wherein we will visit with Kurt Frankum, and we're going to talk about this virtual summit that's coming out, and we'll get to know a little bit about leadinglds.org and a little bit more about Kurt as well. It's called Motivating the Minister, the Surprising Truth About What Motivates Home and Visiting Teachers. Thanks for being here, Kurt.
Hey, it's a pleasure. I'm in the Cultural Hall.
Yeah, right?
It's real.
Now, are you a lifer or are you a convert?
I believe I'm a convert. Okay. I don't think I've heard everyone, but I've picked and choose the ones that stand out to me, but I should take the time.
Yeah, you should, and
as should everybody.
I'm going to properly admonish you to take that sin,
right,
if you would. I feel like as a holder of it, no, I won't go that blasphemous.
I feel rebuked. That's good.
Now, leadinglds.org, for people who don't know, give them an idea of what you guys are and what you do.
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit organization, 501c3, and our mission is to enhance the ability and capacity of lay leaders in the context of the LDS Church. And
okay.
So as some of your listeners may know, you get called to a leadership calling that's very administration heavy, or you're then looked to as the leader of the ward or the quorum or the relief society, and you quickly find out that just because you were set apart, you weren't magically given ability or capacity to really be an effective leader. You try your best and then see how it goes.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, sort of that urban mythy sort of legendy that we kind of go, it's like, well, I was given powers that I, wouldn't know. Now, sure, okay,
yeah,
and I believe that.
Yeah, there's authority and keys, and it's real. I felt it myself, for sure.
But there is also skills that you can just learn that doesn't take the priesthood power, or it doesn't take some gift from on high. You can read in a book and go, meetings should start on time and should be short, and follow-up is important, and so there, it's a little bit of that less mythical side, or mystical side of it.
Yeah, I give the example of, you look at Elder Bednar, who's someone I could listen to all day, every day. I mean, he's just captivating, the principles he teaches, both on leadership and the gospel. And, some people look at him and think, well, he's a great leader. And why is he a great leader? Well, because he's an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
And they dismiss the fact that he has a doctorate degree in organizational behavior, right?
Right.
And that does play into it. Now, I'm not dismissing any degree, his authority and the mission that he has, but nonetheless, a lot of his ability comes from his past life and studying and gaining the skill and ability to lead like he does, and the apostleship on top of that just enhances that.
Right, in the same way that someone like Elder Holland with his previous careers and those things, there are those skills and abilities that allow him when he speaks or when he ministers to reach out to other people who maybe wouldn't, quote unquote, feel it as much maybe with Elder Bednar, or President Monson with his stories. Similar way, there are people who are touched by those stories in a way that the most factual talk from Elder Ballard, or not Elder Ballard, Elder Nelson, you just would be like, well, no, I love a story. Tell me a story to get the principle.
Exactly. And that's really what I started leading LDS. I started almost seven years ago, and it just started from a need. I was a Elders Quorum president in a YSA ward where I met my wife. And I remember I had 100-plus elders, even though you're only supposed to have 96, according to Doctrine and Covenants. But nonetheless,
but it's neither here nor there.
Right. I mean, come on. These are just technicalities. But and there I was, faced with wanting, this is my first leadership experience. I kind of went in there thinking, I'm going to make a difference. And I think a lot of leaders experience this. They're called, they say, it's going to change with me. And I remember giving the famous guilt trip lesson about home teaching. And I think we've all been there, or visiting teaching if you're a sister. And, everybody's staring at the carpet, and I'm, pounding the pulpit, trying to make a point. And and I remember we were at 39% home teaching that month.
Less than 50%.
Right? And so I thought, well, this next month, I've really gotten the message across. And the next month, we actually dropped a percentage. I thought, man, nothing changed. It became very discouraging. And so 7 years ago, I was called as a high priest group leader, and I didn't want to make the same mistakes I made before as an Elders Quorum president. So I thought, there's probably people online talking about this. Or I go into Barnes & Noble, and there's bookshelves full of leadership, books around business and secular life. But there's nothing about, church leadership and leadership principles within that context. And I went online. It wasn't there. So I thought, well, I'm no leadership expert, but I can maybe research some of these things. A lot of these authors are LDS, you know, mm-hmm. Stephen Covey and these you know, leadership gurus, is for lack of a better term. And so I just started putting information out there, and there it grew, and it's gotten some traction since then, and it's great to see the feedback to come. And I really feel like a lot of leaders, it's really up to them to, you know, obviously they've been set apart with authority and sometimes priesthood keys, but it's really up to them to develop the skills and abilities to excel as a leader.
It's sort of like, I make this joke maybe a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and others will make it with me, where, you know, if someone's going through a hard time, they'll say, either to me, as the case was when I was getting divorced, or, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, I'll say to others, you know, well, have you seen a counselor? And they'll say, yeah. And I'll say, someone besides your bishop. Right. Because more than likely, your bishop, and this is, again, is not to discount or discredit, right, what they do, because they are a listening ear, and a lot of them, especially if they've been in for a while, have certainly gained the skills of listening and that kind of counselorship. But most of the time, you know, they're lawyers or they're, you know, CEOs or mm-hmm, other things, not necessarily trained to be a, you know, a psychological counselor.
Right.
And so there is every element of that would need to be applied if you were trying to work through something like that. Similar, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, I face that as, you know, I'm, the area I live, I was called as a bishop after I was a high priest group leader. And there I was, you know, it was very common to have young leadership there. I was a 28-year-old bishop. Day one, I look at the schedule and, you know, there's a person on my schedule. He comes in and he shares with me an addiction that he has with pornography. And I looked at him and I just, well, I don't know, stop it. Like, I didn't know what to say, right? And like, don't do it again, you know? And that's not necessarily helpful.
Here's the deal.
Like,
don't. Okay. Right. Are we good?
Wow,
are we
Bishop,
both on the same page?
I haven't thought about that. Or I think a lot of leaders default to, like, well, you know, are you reading your scriptures? Are you praying? And these people that, you know, that on paper, that makes sense. But for them, it's like, Bishop, I mean, I've done that. I'm trying with all my heart. You know, this just isn't happening. And so, you know, and even years later, a married couple looked at me to address some infidelity happening in their relationships. Like, listen, at the end of the day, I'm a 29-year-old punk kid that really doesn't know anything. You know, I have a degree in marketing. You know,
right,
I don't think that's going to help here. So now, you know, I had some incredible experiences of impressions and things to say and do. But at the end of the day, you know, it came through that experience and that knowledge I was gaining to really have an impact as a leader and see change for the positive in that ward and so forth. So,
and part of, I think, of like maximizing our talents or fulfilling our callings, mm-hmm, is to learn and is to grow in that. And it's not always, I mean, I hope this doesn't come across that I don't think that the scriptures aren't important, because they are.
Yeah.
Prayer, like, you know, in a way that I've never experienced before. Struggling, praying, get an answer in a way that I would have never thought that would be the thing. I think that those things occur. I fully believe in
Absolutely.
Those things. But sometimes it can just be, how can I talk to people better? Well, here's a book, and now I'm going to read it, and now I'll be able to talk to people better because I did that. And that's kind of what this, I get the impression, that's kind of what the motivating the minister, the surprising truth about what motivates home and visiting teachers is about.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of our missions with Leading LDS is we want to just put together some really in-depth training, not necessarily about the doctrine, because that's there. You know, we have general conference about the doctrine, spiritual direction, and the you know, the general authorities have set the vision and the mission of what we're supposed to accomplish. And I want to create some through Leading LDS, create some you know, trainings or resources that, you know, that aren't required for leaders, or you're not going to be a bad leader if you don't experience these things. But, you know, it's someplace to go to start getting ideas and think, oh, you know, I could try this, that, or the other, and really begin to see that change I want to see, or understand what others are doing to find success. And so one way we do that is through these virtual online summits where, you know, we have a variety of speakers, everyone from Brad Wilcox, Steve Schallenberger.
And are these the gentlemen that'll be in part of this one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so, and a lot of these individuals are people that have leadership consulting experience in the business world, secular world, and they've studied and researched these principles about motivation. And so I talked to them about about, you know, how do these principles apply to the world of motivating within the church? And we use home and visiting teacher just sort of the context of the summit, but it's really all about motivation. So even if you're a primary president or teacher and you're just trying to motivate those children, you know, there's still a lot to learn here. And so we're trying to, we have 8+ hours of these interviews and content of all things motivation, you know, and how do I actually do that? What does that look like on Sunday when I go in there and actually motivate without doing what I did, the guilt trip lesson, or you know, telling people you're going to lose blessings if you don't do this, or what more can we do other than just saying at the end of each month, like, hey, don't forget your home teaching, go out and do your home teaching, but what some real practical things that are working and that play into the psyche of human nature that are going to motivate people.
You know, one of my favorite, this is a funny story that for whatever reason has always stuck with me. In a ward, it was when I was a kid, and I think it was my dad that told me this story. Now, the details on that end are a little bit skewed, but what had happened was is that the Elder Quorum President was trying to get volunteers to come help with like a temple ceiling assignment, right?
Sure.
So at the start of the lesson, he said, hey, you know, elders, it's Thursday night. We need 2 elders from like 7 to 9 or, you know, whatever the thing is, right? And it does what it does in every elders quorum where it was, you know, quiet and no one really volunteered. He's like, well, I guess we'll, you know, we'll make some phone calls and we'll get it done. And then halfway through the lesson, this was back when the Utah Jazz were in the playoffs, halfway through the lesson, he goes, oh, yeah, hey, you know what? I forgot, you guys. I have 2 tickets for, and he had purchased, because he wanted to make this point, he had purchased playoff tickets, or he was a season ticket holder and couldn't go, but he had the actual physical tickets, and he said, hey, so Thursday night, the exact same time as this temple assignment, had said, you know, he said, I've got these tickets for this, and I'm just going to give them away.
Yeah.
If there's any way that, you know, if people can, if anyone wants to take them, can you do it? All the hands in the room shoot up, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'll take the tickets, right? And then my dad said it was by far one of the most powerful lessons that he's ever been a part of as to where our priorities are and everyone in the room. Because, I mean, the guy who rose his hand first and got it, he took the tickets, and he said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to the game. Thank you. But I think that it was a tremendous lesson for everybody to really see where their priorities are.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great story.
Yeah, fascinating. I wish I could be that smart. Maybe I can get ideas like that from leadinglds.org.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails from people all the time. Here's one. Dear Dan, I keep hearing your ads talking about free virus and malware scans on any brand of desktop or laptop PC. I think you're trying to pull one over on us. We know nothing is free. We're not that naive out there in the real world. Signed, No Free Lunch. Dear No Free Lunch, we mean it. We really will scan your computer for malware and spyware for free. We know that if you have a great experience with us, you'll be so impressed that one day you might come back and buy a computer from us. So bring in your computer, no matter what brand of PC it is, to any one of our locations right now for a free virus and malware and spyware scan. Just check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Say goodbye to your malware and spyware. No free lunch. At PC Laptops, we love you.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Utah's newest upscale catering company is now accepting bookings for the upcoming holiday and wedding season. Slick Rock Catering masterfully combines exquisite food, beautiful presentation, high-level service, and careful attention to create a special occasion that will be remembered. From award-winning food, event planning, decorating, to providing highly trained servers, Slick Rock Catering will help you make your next special event a huge success. Contact them at slickrockcatering.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. 1 in 5 children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
So it's 8 hours of content. So how do I get it? How do I get this unlocked to me?
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll link to it on the Culture Hall, but at leadinglds.org, there's further information about how this works, where you can we're providing the keynote addresses. They're going to be completely free to watch for anyone that just and it's all online starting April 22nd. You just go there, and it'll be about I guess about 90 minutes to 2 hours of content, and just give you a taste. And it's good content. There's a lot of value there as well. And then we do have some registration. Packages, one if you want to get for an individual, or ward pass if you want to get your ward council at the bishop's home and watch together, or you know, watch these over time at the beginning of each meeting for you know, for a few weeks or whatever it is. And all the proceeds of this are going to go to keeping Leading LDS going and enhancing the experience that we're trying to create to, you know, enhance the leadership ability of for lay leaders in the church.
So you said about 90 minutes of stuff I'll be able to watch for free.
Yep.
And then from that it's a paid thing.
Yep.
Beyond that.
Yep.
Give people an idea. As I read this, it says starting at 9 a.m., so I don't have to be watching at 9 a.m. It's just it's available April 22nd
right.
at 9 a.m.
Yeah, so if you're busy Saturday and or if there's a better time for, you know, a bishopric or a presidency to get together, watch these together, then those keynotes will be available for about a week to watch it at your leisure.
Like YouTube videos?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it'll be embedded there on the site.
Okay.
And then if you do get the full pass to all the content, you know, that's you have lifetime access. You can watch it whenever, however you like, and
give people an
it,
idea of so. What cost is doing here. But before I go there, when people are like, what is this? Just a big, gigantic commercial? There are opportunities to apply for scholarship for these things at leadinglds.org. Or if you're a person of means, you can also donate to a scholarship so that other people can have this as well. So give me an idea. How much is this?
So the individual pass is $49.
Okay.
And then for the ward pass is $249. And
okay.
So that for any member in your ward can access the training, whether they're a leader or not. And then we realize, you know, we're playing this tough balance of we want to create quality content, but that quality content does take, you know, money to create. And so there's a price on that. But we realize that some maybe don't have the means. We're not trying to service the leaders that have the means to go to something like this.
Yeah, in fact, in a lot of ways, some of those ones that probably don't have the means that service those areas that you know, don't have the means necessarily, could use it probably more.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're getting individuals like a bishop that's buying a ticket for his ward and saying, hey, I'll buy one more or two more that you can give the scholarship. So don't hesitate to apply for scholarships. I mean, it's not like we're extremely limited on those, and more than likely those funds will be there for scholarship.
That's
and
awesome.
To make that available to anybody who'd like to be there.
So you name dropped a couple people, Brad Wilcox and
Steve Schellenberger.
Okay.
Who's the best-selling author, leadership trainer.
Who are some other folks that we
so Paul
from?
Gustafson is he's some might recognize the name from Deseret Book. He's written a book with Bronco Mendenhall, very well-known leadership trainer around teams and how to motivate teams like a ward council. And then we got some everyday Elders Quorum presidents who aren't necessarily famous on their own right, but they have put together a system in their ward that seems to be really working. And so I interview them and just say, okay, what are you doing? How does that work? Break it down for us. How would somebody that's trying to do what you do go from there? Even some sisters, Deanna Murphy, who's a leadership coach and trainer in Minnesota, and she'll be a part of it. And she's been a Stake Relief Society president, has such a remarkable approach to one-to-one interviews and how that plays such an important role in motivation. Because a lot of leaders, they don't know. They know they're supposed to do one-to-one interviews, but it's like this awkward interaction of like, so how are your kids? You know, your wife? You know,
how was dinner? Is that good?
Yeah,
Your lawn looks great.
I guess we're done here.
Yeah.
You know? And so it can be very awkward. So she walks us through how to really make those impactful and spiritual in a way that's going to build people and help them to motivate down the road. So can't miss Brad Wilcox. He's a part of it. Got a chance to interview him in his home, and he just has a way of making information fun and interactive. And so,
speaker, book author,
yeah. But he's the grace guy, and he reads about the grace of Jesus Christ and all his books and things.
Yeah,
so.
Amazing! What a great group of people, yeah. And I think so important that you include the women, right?
Yeah,
so vital. And for me, in a lot of these kind of things, I find myself connecting to the way that the women would approach it more than the men for whatever reason. I don't know if that speaks to my character or whatever, but when I hear those kind of things, I go, oh, yeah. Or I guess maybe there's more for me to learn, perhaps from that perspective.
Sure. I think there's some natural creativity there, and come to the sisters that is made more effective when it comes to visiting teaching you know, that we could apply to home teaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. LeadingLDS.org is where people can find all of this information. You guys have a podcast as well.
Yeah, we have over 200 episodes that I started.
What are you trying to do? Beat us? Cool.
No way, man. We are supplementing what you're doing here. And we encourage you to keep going. We're not as funny and fun as you
are. Or irreverent. I know that as well.
Right. But we have a segment on there called How I Lead, where I'll just sit down with Elders Quorum President, Relief Society President, whomever they are. And it's not that they're a leadership expert, but they have we talk about leadership principles that they've led by. And a lot of the question I had as a young leader was just, what's the other guy doing? You know, there may be a very successful bishop in Harriman, Utah that's doing something, but there's no way for me to find out about that. So I'm trying to build those connections that if one guy's doing something that really works, it's great. And we've interviewed bishops in Italy, Australia, at least site presence in Australia, all over the world. And it's kind of interesting to see how their day-to-day responsibilities and tasks have to be adjusted for that culture and you can learn a lot about that, and that we can sort of get in our bubble and can't see past our culture here. But there's
what's the podcast called if people want to find it, and where can they find it?
So we're on any, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, any place you find podcasts, and just search for Leading LDS and
subscribe.
Get it.
Does that cost anything for people to listen?
It does not. The majority of our content is absolutely free. You know,
how often do you guys put those out?
We generally, it's around 2 a week. So on Tuesdays, we do more of a themed where I'm talking to maybe an author, somebody who's had a unique experience. And then on Saturdays, we do the How I Lead segment, where it's just leaders that are trying their best, and we talk to them about what's working.
That's awesome. Yeah. Kurt, where do you come from? What's your story?
Yeah, so I mean, grew up.
You gave me kind of the idea of where you started church calling wise, but what beyond that?
So I grew up in West Valley City, and I never joined a gang. It's really not as bad as they say.
It's the west side of Salt Lake. It's notorious for being harassed as being the gang part of the city.
Exactly. Went to Granger High and graduated in 2000.
Okay.
And went on a mission to Sacramento, California, Spanish speaking.
Sacktown.
That's right.
Got shot at in Sacktown. That's a real story.
Amen. And
took a wrong turn. We really did. It was my dad and I, and we went, we probably shouldn't be here,
right.
and literally got shot at. It was just a kid with BB gun, but it was a rental car, and we ended up paying for it, and it felt real, and we were like, we should go.
Nice.
Let us drive away quickly.
Yeah, there's some rough parts, especially in the Stockton area where I served a little bit, but had a great mission, came home, married a potato farmer from Idaho, Blackfoot, and she's wonderful, and have two kids, and had opportunities. We sort of live in the inner city of South Salt Lake, and so just have had opportunities early on in my life to serve in various leadership callings, and it's really not because I'm anything special, but that was just who's available in those wards. My bishop right now is he's 25, and
oh my gosh,
and he's rocking it. So
I can't even imagine,
right?
I mean, yeah. I don't like to talk about my age very much because of industry stuff. Sometimes you start to age yourself out of things, but you know, 36 years old, right?
Yeah,
I could never have been. They won't even, and this is true, and I'm thankful for it. They won't even put me in leadership in the elders quorum. I am an amazing, and I don't mind saying that and being a little bit braggadocious about it, an amazing teacher who will never be in a leadership calling because testimonies will be shattered as they go, wait a minute, that guy is what?
I think you'd be surprised how many would be strengthened by having you there. So
I haven't had that opportunity yet.
Well, come to my stake and it'll be there.
I'm okay. I am okay with it.
So, yeah, that's me for the most part.
So just a Utah kid.
Utah kid.
Any desire to go out to do it somewhere else?
No, absolutely. In past jobs, I've had opportunity to jump around North America and see what the country looks like. And it's a different feeling to be in the minority of religion and thought. And I think there's a lot of good there. I think everybody could use a good break from the culture that's here in Utah. And in the past, it used to bug me when people referred to the culture and the bubble and things. But, you have to just admit it's there and take it for what it is and do your best to dismiss the negatives of it, because there are some negatives there.
Well, and it's the same thing that you get whenever you have dominant people of any culture, right?
Yeah.
I served my mission in Cleveland, and there was one of the areas I served in Cleveland that was like 99.5% staunch Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Like the town, I swear it was like Mosiah, where all the houses were faced towards the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
I swear it was like that. And you didn't get anywhere, and everyone knew what was going on. And, it was that kind of way. And that's just how it is when you have a high concentrated group.
Yeah, it's human nature.
I think Mormons get the brunt end of that just because of Utah and how that is. But, that's how it is anywhere, that there's that dominant culture. LeadingLDS.org, people can find out about everything that we've been talking about. This Motivating the Minister virtual summit is available online starting April 22nd. And there's a price increase after like the 25th or something, right? So there's value to get it right away.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it'll be available. I mean, it's not like it's going away. It'll always be there to purchase the recording and to be a part of that. There's a lot of value here. And we have a money-back guarantee. We're not here to produce things that aren't worth that value. And I think most people find it's much more valuable than what they put in for it.
Is this what you do full-time?
It's definitely my full-time focus, as I tell people. And that's sort of what we're trying to create is, I sold my web development company at the end of the year, and really because Leading LDS was getting a point that, it was growing and it either deserves my full-time attention or I need to very much scale back. And
right. And
the mission of it, I'm so passionate about and really want to help. And the feedback that we've been getting is so positive. They thought, let's see what we can do. And we may scale back, we may scale forward. I don't know, but
But you went for it. You took the risk and went for it.
Absolutely. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
And, the older I get, I find that the people that are the most successful and sometimes heartbroken are the ones that that take that risk and go for it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I remember you just mentioned recently about your dad that could have done the Boston Marathon or something?
Yeah.
And kind of missed that opportunity.
Yeah.
So I try and keep that sort of method in my mind of saying, I'd rather live with no regrets and be poor than the opposite. So.
You know, the hard thing for me is I'm really great about offering that advice, but if you look at my life, it is the most safe, logical, thought-out decisions.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But one of these days, I'll leap. I'll leap one of these days. We'll see what that means. I don't know. Defined as however I want that to be. People can find all this information, leadinglds.org. You know the drill. You've listened to enough episodes to know how this goes at the end.
Sure.
Do you have a calling right now, sir? And if so, what is it?
Yeah, I've about 18 months ago, Elder Rasband came to my stake. I was serving as bishop and called me into the stake presidency. So I'm serving as first counselor in the stake presidency. So it's a lot of fun.
Making the ascension. Any desire? I know you shouldn't really talk about that necessarily, but does the idea of being a stake president sound fun to you?
Well, I've submitted my application four times, but they no.
Same thing for me for apostle, but they just keep rejecting
it. This is weird.
Yeah.
This is really, it'd be so good for my career.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
Being a first counselor is definitely different than being a first counselor in a bishopric. I mean, there's opportunities where, and they call me president. I mean, there's some level of being a stake president already, and so there's really not a huge amount of difference between stake president and really, I mean, if this is it, and I'm in nursery and Cub Scouts the rest of my life, I'd be okay with that. These are wonderful experiences, and really, there's sort of this, and this sort of plays in the culture we're talking about. There's sort of this culture of and President Uecker have talked about we should never campaign for certain callings.
Sure,
but I almost feel like we err on the other side where we sort of, we got to just serve enough so that we won't be on that list. And the way I look at it is that we should never inspire to certain callings, but we should inspire to be on the list of options. There's nothing wrong with that because the Lord needs us in his vineyard to serve.
Yeah, and he'll use you how he wants to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like a thing where I think you'd go, yeah, if that's the calling, you bet. Yeah, and I'll try and do that the best I can. But it's also, if I'm the greeter at the door, you can bet I'll be there with the heartiest handshake that I can, you know, that kind of thing.
And one thing that Brad Wilcox mentions in this Motivating Minister Summit is he says, I really feel like sometimes the Lord calls elders quorum presidents so that they'll home teach the rest of their life. Or they call ward mission leaders so that they'll be, or we're all called on mission, so we'll be better member missionaries. And for me, you know, I look forward to that next phase of my life when I can move into a new ward and be whatever he wants, but I will be that a different type of that calling because I have seen that from that perspective. And I think it's healthy for everybody to get a glimpse of that perspective at some point, whether it's a long time or just a few months. So,
well, and to go with that, kind of on the mission to Mormon or to a member missionary kind of thing, I think that there is some truth, and people I don't think like hearing this, and I don't know why. There is a lot of truth in God calling or changing the missionary age. And missionaries going younger, so if their only convert is them.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And some people are like, oh, that's terrible. No, it's because he needs the work. And it's like, okay, maybe. But maybe we're losing too many people.
Yeah, and there hasn't been a huge jump in baptisms.
Yeah.
But I think there's still been a huge jump in conversions among those young men and women.
Yeah, so. And retention certainly too. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Just an aside, if you could pick a calling for yourself, what would you pick and why?
You know, this is interesting. I would love, someday I just want someone to give me the gospel doctrine calling. I would love to just have a weekly Sunday calling that's less administrative. I've been so heavy in the administrative callings the last decade. But really, you know, I feel like if there's a calling that, you know, I could help inspire and guide the leaders of the church and give them more resources. And really, I guess you sort of call yourself to that calling. And that's really what I felt inspired to do is, mark my territory here and say I'm going to make a difference among the lay leaders of the church.
Now, I want to give you a hard time before I ask you the final question.
Okay.
Do people ever give you a hard time when you're trying to make money off the church and call it a little bit of priest crap?
A little bit, you know.
Because I'll be honest, sometimes I go, now, this, I feel like there's this, I can tell, speaking to you, certainly, that there's a passion for what you're doing. You know, just kind of reading it, I go, okay, this probably good, but maybe he's just trying to make a buck. But there are some things that I see, you know, items that people will sell, etc., where I'm just like, no, this is
Stop
the
it.
Very definition
right.
of what we shouldn't be doing.
Right.
People give you a hard time ever?
A little bit. And really, that's kind of why we went the path of the nonprofit.
Uh-huh.
And again, not that a nonprofit means we don't make money. I mean, there is some revenue there. But, you know, if we're going to do this effectively, it's got to be in an organized fashion. And, we could do this all among volunteers and do a mediocre job, but I really want to enhance and change things. And you see it all the time with, whether a good example I give is, have you ever been to RootsTech? I don't know if you stopped by RootsTech.
Yeah.
I mean, this ginormous conference for genealogy and family history, right? 30,000 attendees. And I actually was there. They hired me to do caricatures, which is another hat I wear in life. But I did caricatures there. And I was just like baffled by the fact that, you know, the church, that they're under their Family Search brand, they have established this incredible resource to connect individuals to many other companies out there, many of them for profit, to really speed up the work of family history.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of ironic, and I thought, you know, this is crazy that the family history consultants are more trained than the bishops in the church, you know?
Yeah.
And and so if I can supplement that, just like the Boy Scouts supplements the development of youth leadership, then I want to play a role in that. And I've always been upfront that if the church ever approached me and said, stop it, I'd be like, okay, I didn't mean to offend. I'll back away here. And
sorry,
I'm just trying to make a difference, you know. So and there's nothing different than, you know, somebody writing a book about the atonement and
right.
of Jesus Christ and talking about that and selling a book, you know.
But people will always give you a hard time. I just wondered how much that does. And going back to RootsTech, there's a cost to get into that.
Yeah.
It's run by the church, right, by an arm. But people pay to get in. So there's money being made there as well. It's just funny how some things to some people you just are like, no!
Yeah.
And other things like,
I hope to never cross that priestcraft line. I maybe have in the past, but it's really not my intention. And I would do this for free, but my family's got to eat too.
So. Yeah. I tried to pay the mortgage with free once.
Yeah,
and that check didn't cash. It didn't bounce right out. Let me ask you this final question and then send you on your way. What is your favorite part of your faith?
Definitely the grace of Jesus Christ. And I think it's something that is overlooked a lot of times or misunderstood in the church. But there's nothing more freeing when you truly understand the role of justification and the role of sanctification, that all of us are justified through Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more or less that we could do to gain that ticket into heaven. But the sanctification process, that's our role, to sanctify ourselves through the atonement of Jesus Christ, and just try to be better than we were last week and become more service-minded. And that way, not to get into heaven, but to feel comfortable once we're there. And to me, it's such a freeing message. And when I hear people struggling or feel like the church is so hard to live so much is required of me, I really don't think they understand that the role of justification and sanctification, which plays into the grace of Jesus Christ.
Awesome. Kurt Frankum is his name. You can find more information about him and about what he's doing at leadinglds.org. The summit, hold on, let me get the full name of the summit. Do you know it off the top of your head? Do it.
Motivating the Minister, the Surprising Truth About What Motivates Home and Visiting Teachers.
So the only advice I can give, because I love everything, that title is so long.
Well, it's not our domain, so.
No, I know. And then .com. What?
Motivating the Minister, that keeps it short and sweet.
Leadinglds.org is where people can find more, and we'll post a link in it with this episode and a little information about you for people to find out more about you. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, that if you were not healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.